Don Kreutzma, author of The Singing Life of Birds, talked with me about two common, if somewhat secretive, Northland birds and their unique vocalizations. Now, one of the birds that's fairly common up here in the pastures and meadows is the sedge wren. And that's sort of an interesting contrast with the black-capped chickadee.
Oh, it is, the sedge wren. I have chased sedge wrens from Canada down to the Falkland Islands, and they are an amazing story because the standard songbird, like a black-capped chickadee, we think of them as being the excellent song learners. They imitate their songs just like we learn to speak. And so you have chickadees that learn this Hey Sweetie song, and you have marsh wrens that imitate the precise details of their song. But here is a very close relative of the marsh wren, the sedge wren, that does none of this imitation. It's an improvising species. Each male, and the females in most of these species don't sing, each male sedge wren makes up his songs. He improvises them. And, you know, there's a whole story with this, of course, that I tell in the book that about why this bird probably does this.
There's a difference between the ones in North America and the ones in other populations.
Yes. When we listen to a singing bird and we say, okay, this species is doing this, and the scientist in me says, well, why is it doing that? What can I learn about why this particular bird is doing this particular thing? And with the sedge wren in North America, we've discovered that, wow, it was doing something so different from the marsh wren. And the one thing that we identified that was clearly different about marsh wrens and sedge wrens was that these sedge wrens, do they come up to northern Minnesota fairly early, probably in May, and then
yeah.
maybe disappear? From a lot of these northern latitudes, they disappear sometime in mid-June, perhaps. And you can go to southern parts of the range of the sedge wren and find out that, wow, in July, sedge wrens are showing up in Kansas and in Nebraska, and maybe in August in Kentucky. It's as if they go north to breed, and then they go south midway through the season, breeding one more time. And if you mark these birds and follow them in their travels, you discover that, wow, they just seem to be scattering all over the continent. They don't settle down and breed in one location and return there year after year like so many other songbirds, including the marsh wren. So as you were saying, Laura, yes, in different parts of the New World, sedge wrens behave differently. And in Central America, on the Falkland Islands, the birds are resident the year-round. And, yep, you guessed it, they imitate their songs much like the North American cousin, the marsh wren, but not like the other members of their same species up here in North America.
There was another species that actually got you into Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh, yeah.
And also gave you an opportunity to put your mother-in-law to work.
It did. The brown thrasher. How many different songs can a songbird sing, we sometimes ask ourselves. And we know a black-capped chickadee sings Hey Sweetie, and we say, well, oh, a song sparrow can sing 10 songs. That's pretty amazing. Oh, a mockingbird, maybe 200. And we're getting up there. But the brown thrasher, I think, puts them all to shame. And how does one go about documenting how many different songs a bird has? Well, one makes miles of, well, I exaggerate just a little, miles of sonograms. I'll go ahead and exaggerate. It's worth it with a brown thrasher. You make lots and lots of sonograms, and I guess we made about 4,000. And then to determine how many different ones are in this 4,000, well, you need to compare each one with all the others, and one does a little math and realize that millions upon millions of comparisons are needed. So we cheated a little. We took 40, I think, different, every 100th song in this series of 4,000. And my mother-in-law is an amazing person. Got her involved. She was eager to look at these sonograms, eager to look for the patterns. So I had the really fun part of doing the recording. She did all the comparison of one sonogram with another. I checked up on her a few times, make sure she was doing good work. And sure enough, she was. So, yeah, an estimate of a couple of thousand, roughly 2,000 different songs that this brown thrasher was capable of singing.
Tomorrow, Don and I talk about some of the amusing stories from his book. Production of this series of interviews with Donald Kreutzma, author of The Singing Life of Birds, was made possible by KUMD. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.